It is time now for Talking Books. We are joined in the studio by Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library. ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org is their website. And the Chapel Hill Community Arts and Culture Department, ChapelHillArts.org is their website. Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm great. Happy New Year to you as
well. Happy 2023.
Indeed.
Time to start accidentally writing 22 on everything and then going like, squibble, squibble, squibble.
How's your New Year?
It was good. It was good. Yeah, it's a New Year's. I've never been like big on the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day holiday. Like we never really celebrate that.
Do you do the Hoppin' John and everything?
No, because I'm from the north, so your customs are strange and confusing to me. Do you have New Year's? Do you do the Hoppin' John thing?
No. And I will say, you know, in my youth, I like New Year's Eve was my holiday.
Oh, nice.
I love New Year's Eve.
All right.
And I would find the party, have the party, make the party. If there wasn't a party, do it up.
Cool.
Stay up all night, all of that. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to watch any ball drop. I'll be in bed by 9:30 at the
latest. I'll watch the celebration in Paris where it's 7 o'clock here.
Exactly.
And then I can go to bed immediately after that.
I'll curl up with a good book and fall asleep with it on my face.
But we are officially into 2023. So first question, what does the future hold for the library or arts and culture? What's coming up in the new year?
Well, I will say that the Arts and Culture team is meeting this very month, as we always do in January, and we really map out the calendar year. Like, we get all the dates in, we get the milestones in, but then we also think, what events do we want to tweak? Do we want to try some new things? Do we want to sunset some old things? Generally speaking, we're settling in now, you know, 5 years in and through COVID, we're settling into the cadence of our calendar with fireworks and the parade and festival.
Yep.
But we're also going to look at things like Tracks Music Series. And do we want to try that differently? Do we want to do something new? Some programming at Forest Theater, like the summer movies.
Awesome.
And talking with the good folks at UNC Arts Everywhere about
that
what's possible there.
Underutilized space, I think.
I could not agree more.
It's a great space.
So that's how we'll sort of look ahead. And then also not just festivals, but what public art projects we want to work on. We have a new poet laureate, of course,
yes.
So thinking about their programming. So that's how we look at it. And then on the library side, we're a little bit in that quiet time right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right, the kids are just coming back from break soon, closing out winter reading at the end of this month. And then pretty soon we'll turn our heads to starting to plan for our busiest season, which is summer reading.
Yep.
So we've had a good break. And 2023 will be full of good things on both fronts.
Tracks Music Series at the Forest Theater?
Who knows?
Did they even have the capacity
mashup
for it?
Well, we're going to figure that out.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking with Susan Brown, so we're getting into the new year. We talked about our New Year's resolutions last week, but as we move into the new year, we're moving into the future, as we are literally every second of every day. but with that in mind, like, we're looking ahead to the future, so what is a good book about the future that we can recommend?
Yes. So books about the future are generally under that science fiction umbrella. And I'm not a big sci-fi reader. I do like some dystopian stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like celebrating New Year's Eve, I used to read a lot of dystopian fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just got depressed when it started coming true.
Yeah.
So I turned to horror, which makes me feel better.
Is that
weird?
That's fair.
Maybe slightly.
That's fair.
But my husband loves to read science fiction. And I wanted to recommend a book that he read at the end of 2022. It's a fairly new book out, and it's a short book. So if you're looking for a short read, it's called 2 a.m. in Little America. And the author is Ken Kalfas. And so he's not an author that I had read before. I think he's written many things in that sort of literary fiction genre, or not a genre, but vein. But 2 a.m. in Little America, the hook of this is it's a distant future, or not so distant future, when the world has changed. And what's happened is there was a major civil conflict in the U.S. in many of the country's young people fled, and they went. So the anti-immigrant narrative kind of flipped.
Right.
So there's only a few places in the world that will take on refugees from America.
Right.
And so the protagonist lives in a small, you know, enclave neighborhood called Little America in a different country. And it's really this rumination on that idea and what might happen. Yeah, and he very much enjoyed it. And then he said, you should read it. And it sat on my bedside and gathered dust. And then I took it back to the library. But I've talked to many people who really, really liked it. So 2 a.m. in Little America by Ken Kalfas is a book that my husband can recommend about the future.
Does he know, or is he just now finding out that you didn't read it?
Oh, he knows. He gives me books all the time.
Oh, okay, good.
And I'm like, thank you, honey. I'm totally going to read that. And then I don't.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's okay.
I'm going to go off script a little bit and recommend a book that I have read and did not like. But I think I am definitely in the minority on this one. It is a beloved classic. I read it too late, I think. You have to read this one when you're a certain age, and I got around to it after that age, so it was a little bit late for me. But I think it might be the right time historically to come back and read this one, because you were talking about, like, oh, dystopian novels and getting depressed when they start coming true. Like, what is a book about the world, like, going through chaos and dystopia and bad things happening, but it's super upbeat and optimistic and
Cat
funny.
Cat in the Hat.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Ooh, Cat in the Hat,
right,
though, is
bad
not bad either.
Happening.
Oh, yeah, forget Hitchhiker's Guide. Yes, Cat in the Hat. Both of which are about, like, bad things happening, but, like, staying upbeat in the process of it. But
right.
I never thought about the Cat in the Hat that way.
There's a triangulation happening
yes.
between Hitchhiker's Guide and the Cat in the Hat.
Oh, man.
Mind blown.
You can, oh, yeah, forget Hitchhiker's Guide. Yeah, Cat in the Hat. That's it. Because, like, there's this whole, like, discursus on who is thing one, who is thing two.
Right?
Like, what did they represent?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I will say, I've attempted to read Hitchhiker's Guide a couple times, and it just was not a book that clicked with me.
You have to be 16.
Right.
You have to
be
a teenager. You have
okay.
to be at a certain time in your life,
yeah.
and then, like, Hitchhiker's Guide will speak to you. And if you're 25 or older, I think, and you read it for the first time, I don't think it works. But,
okay.
but Cat in the Hat still holds up.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it.
There
this
we
is
go.
Why we have the librarian on. That's also like 150 fewer pages, and you still get the same
That's right. That's
message.
Right. Yeah.
I like it. Hey, that is Talking Books. ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org for more information on the library. Go there for more about winter reading, which is still going on until the end of January. Susan Brown, Happy New Year.
Same to you.